everyone. Welcome to episode 173 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Monday, November 12th, 2018, and you are back from New Hampshire. You got Ray, and you got me. JR, unfortunately, is sick, so we're going to be holding down the fort until he gets back. How you doing, Ray?
I am doing fantastic. I came back from a through. Have we done an episode since I came back from my trip? I don't even remember.
Was which that trip?
I went to, like,
so the BlizzCon. BlizzCon. We talked about the BlizzCon.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
trip.
Okay. Yeah. Didn't die. Survived the weekend. Like, I'm about a week out now since the last podcast, right? So, still not sick. Don't want to jinx it, but I think I made it out unscathed, and that means I'm going to be going to DreamHack Atlanta this weekend, which I am very excited for. I was actually feeling very confident going into the Esports Arena Orange County HCT tournament, but unfortunately, I just hit a string of bad matchups. I played against Control Warrior like four out of the five games that I played, and I managed to beat Shoop and Rage, and then lost to the rest of them. So,
it feels bad when you beat your friends.
It feels bad when you beat your friends. It feels even worse, though, when you queue into, like, a lineup or that's just, like, uncommon. And you, like, I queued into it so many times because I just queued into the same testing group. Like, that's happened to me twice now, which is really weird. Like, I just, in DreamHack Montreal, I queued into all of this team called, I think it's Infinity Gaming. So I just played against the same lineup three times in a row. And it was a bad matchup, and then this time I queued into Shoop, Rage, Ant, and Dr. J, who all tested together. So I was, like, just playing against the same lineup, and it was a bad matchup every time. And I was just like, man, it feels like an anomaly. So I'm hoping that this time, I feel like last time I picked a good lineup. I mean, Impact played it, Saiyan played it, Saiyan didn't do as well. Impact got second, maybe, or top four. We didn't test together or anything, but it just, like, people who played that lineup with, like, a very similar list to mine did well, so I don't think it was necessarily a bad choice. It was just the luck of the draw when it comes to who you get paired against, and I feel like this time around I'm also going to play a solid lineup, and just kind of hope that I don't run into bad matchups and I can get there, because I feel like my play has been on point lately. I feel like since I've started, I don't want to say, like, focusing on Hearthstone less, but, like, since I've been doing other things, like playing Artifact and stuff, it's really weird. I feel like my Hearthstone play has improved because I'm not burning out on the game and I'm just not getting tilted as much as I used to. I ended up getting a finish, like I said, last month, top 100, and I really only played the last few days of the month. Like, I got to Legend, didn't play the whole month, and then I was just, like, on point for the last few days. Like, I played significantly less games than I did in the previous months where I did not get a good finish, but the games that I played were actually just much higher quality.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Too much of a good thing is too much of a good thing.
Yeah, Osaka used to always say this when he was playing more competitively, which I think he's starting to get back into a little bit, but he says, like, after a certain point, like, you should just stop playing, because you only play good Hearthstone, like, the first hour or two at most that you're laddering.
That's interesting. I never really thought about that.
Like, his ladder sessions are not that long unless they have to be, because after a certain point, like, you're just... It's not necessarily that you're playing worse, you're also just not learning. Like, you're just, you kind of go into autopilot mode. So you're not really paying attention to your games anymore after a certain point. Unless you're in a call or something. This is, like, if you're playing by yourself, if you're grinding. Like, after a certain point, you just go on autopilot mode and you just
That makes
play
so
worse.
Much sense to me. I probably have seen that, where I've gotten to a point where I've just gone through and I win maybe about five games or so, and then it's like, okay, I've won a bunch of games, and you don't really take things super seriously.
Yeah, and Sometimes it's just really difficult to not get in that zone where you're just playing a lot, though. It's like, you just feel pressured to get a high rank, so you just consistently play a lot until you get to that high rank, so it's kind of like smashing your head against the wall over and over again, even though after a little while it just doesn't do anything. Like, maybe for the first couple hours you start breaking through, and then after that it's just, like, futile. But you still do it.
I definitely feel that I get more tilted towards the end of my sessions, too. Where it's like, if I get blown out by something ridiculous, it's like, I get really frustrated at that point. Whereas, if it's in early in the game, it's like, oh, okay, well, so be it.
Yeah. I mean, there's also a chance that, like, at the end of this month, like, when I was actually playing, I was just high-rolling really hard. But I feel like I was also just paying much more attention to the games. Whereas before, it's just like, I play just like 8 hours at a time, like just ridiculous amounts of time until I get a higher rank.
It can also mean that the stakes were higher too, because like normally if you're playing, you're like, oh, I have like 10 more days left in the season and I can play 8 hours on every single one of those games, so a loss here doesn't really matter. Whereas like if you're only playing last day for a couple hours, it's like, all right, these games mean a lot more.
Yeah, I think that's so like that. Yeah, that's definitely
the higher
true.
Stakes really push you to play at a higher level.
Yeah, some days it's just like your brain just doesn't want to turn on, man. Like, I'm sure you've had those days where you just fire up a game of Hearthstone and you're just like not feeling it. Like, you're just kind of,
oh yeah,
I don't know. Like, I play Hearthstone to relax as well sometimes. I don't know what it is, but like sometimes I'm just not paying attention really, but I'm just like enjoying playing, so I just mindlessly play ladder until I get bored. And I feel like I get into that zone a lot where I'm not really paying attention, I'm just kind of mindlessly autopiling. And like sometimes you can actually climb like that. Like, I could easily climb from like X legend to like top 200 like on autopilot. But like once you get to those, like that top 200 area, you really have to turn your brain on and start focusing.
Turn off Netflix.
I mean, that's actually true. All that, like, stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I do that too. I toss on a YouTube video or two in the background, dual monitor it up, watch YouTube on one screen, play Hearthstone on the other.
Yeah, I think the important, I mean, I've known this lesson. It's just very hard to have self-discipline. At least for me, I know some people are, like, very good at, like, scheduling their time and having self-discipline. But for me, for some reason, it's just a lot more difficult to, like, say, okay, I'm not going to do anything else besides play Hearthstone. It's like, I would do much better results-wise on ladder if I just scheduled, it, like, 2 hours or an hour a day to play, and then that's all that I play. And I'm just 100% absorbed into the game. But because I play Hearthstone for fun as well, and I stream, that is just something that doesn't really happen. And I think I need to just...
You should do an experiment like that, right? Where for the first 2 hours of every day, you only play NA. And then for the rest of the time, you meme around on EU.
Honestly, that's probably what I should do. That's just, like, what a smart person would do. Me, however,
tips for Diddy Donuts. There you go. I just got you a top 25 finish. There you go. Calling it now.
I do need that. Well, I don't need a top 25. I need like a top 100 or top 50, or top. I need a top 200 if I get a finish in Atlanta, and then like a top 100 or top 50. Otherwise, top 50 is like safe. Top 100 is like maybe not safe. So. Yeah, we'll see. I'm definitely gonna have to crack down, start playing. Devoted a lot of time this past weekend to the Artifact tournament that happened, so...
How did you do in that?
I ended up going, like, 3-3 drop. I honestly just got outplayed super hard. I just, like, didn't play enough going into it compared to the hours that other people, like... I played against Hoy round 1, and...
Oh boy.
He just played circles around me, honestly. Like, he knew what he, like, I could just tell, like, I was just unsure on certain decisions and stuff, and I got punished super hard, and afterwards I was like, man, if I had done this turn differently, I probably could have won, but I didn't know that in the moment, just because I've never been put in those situations before, because I've just played so much less than they have, and, mm-hmm. like, I lost to Hoy, I played against Life Coach and Wife Coach. I beat Wife Coach, though. I lost to Life Coach Hoy. I lost to the Rat. And then, yeah, I mean, overall, I just felt like I just wasn't as prepared as the other people, but I was still able to kind of help other people prepare, like Noblord and Hot Meowth, Hyped, who went X2 and whiffed cut, because it was only X1s that made it. So, they were close. Pretty happy with that. I mean, I don't actually think I'm going to switch over to Artifact or anything like that, but I know Edwin's thinking about it. I know Hype's already signed to Liquid for Artifact. Like, Noblord's thinking about switching over to Artifact, so it's like, I am fine putting time into the game to help them out. And, like, making connections with Valve people or whoever to help push my friends. And then, I don't know. I just don't see myself really transitioning from Hearthstone. I feel like I just enjoy it too much. And I enjoy the community. So it would take a lot to actually make me want to switch over.
Yeah, but there's no thing saying that you can't do both.
Yeah, that's the thing, is, like, even though I didn't prepare, like, enough compared to them, I feel like there's a certain point where, like, you've put a certain amount of time in the game that you understand it at a level where you can still just win anyways. Kind of like Hearthstone. I feel like I'm at a level where I could not play Hearthstone anymore and still show up to a tournament and do well, as long as I know the format. Which is what a lot of the pro players do. You see people do that all the time. Like, Oskaka didn't play for a long time, and he came back and immediately just, like, does well on ladder and in tournaments. And that's just...
Yeah, as long as you can figure out a meta, understand matchups and all that stuff, like...
Yeah, there's...
The gameplay hasn't really evolved so much for over the past year or two.
Like...
Or even... I mean, the gameplay is... I mean, we were talking a little bit earlier before the show, and I was mentioning that I went back and watched some of the original, like... post beta stuff, and like people are making stupid decisions at that point, but like the fundamental gameplay hasn't changed.
Yeah, I mean, I think it doesn't for most games in general. Like, I went to Pokemon Nationals this year after having not touched the game for 3 years, and I still ended up starting off 3-0 at Nationals, beating like people who actually cared about doing well so they could get their world's invite. It was pretty funny, actually. That's the part I enjoyed most about it, was just going into the tournament with no, like, kind of like no strings attached, right? Like, there's no pressure on me because I can't get my world's invite. Like, I know I'm not going to win, so it's like, it just doesn't matter to me at all. I'm just there to hang out and see some friends. But at the same time, I also have the opportunity to beat people who actually really care about winning, just because I can get lucky, and I don't know if that makes me kind of messed up. Like,
well, no, you're put into a high stakes situation. Like, you always love that when it's like, all right, this is like, it's important, and then when it's important to someone, it becomes important to you too as well. It's not like you're gonna be like, oh, okay, you need this win, I'm gonna throw.
Yeah,
you're like, okay, well, you need this win, you better earn it from me.
Yeah, and, like, obviously I was a pro at Pokemon beforehand, so it's, like, I only really practiced, like, the week leading up to the tournament. So, like, I learned the metagame and stuff, but obviously didn't know the intricacies of certain matchups, whatever, because I haven't played it. But, like, the core fundamentals of the game were still the same, so I was still able to actually play the game. I just had to, you know, sometimes, like, read all the cards.
Like, that's gotta be funny in the middle of a tournament. Hey, what does that card do?
No, that was probably the best part for me, was like, I played against somebody who's like going for their world's invite, and they were playing In Pokemon, we call it a rogue deck. I guess in Hearthstone, I don't know. There's really not really a name for it. Just kind of like an off-meta deck, like just a deck that is just like kind of wacky, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like does Hearthstone have a name for decks like that? Like in Magic, it's rogue too.
A meme deck.
Like wacky decks are always considered memes in Hearthstone, but like in other games, they're considered like rogue decks. Like rogue as in like, oh, he's going rogue, like he's unknown.
Yeah.
So it was like that, and I just had to read.
Do you think that for other games, that's just because people just haven't played, like the metagame hasn't become as refined because
100%. Millions of people
play Hearthstone?
There's no information compared to what Hearthstone has. Like there are articles online that have paywalls, and then like there's just no free information that is as abundant as it is in Hearthstone. And honestly, Hearthstone wasn't like that a long time ago either. Hearthstone had tournaments where you would see a completely unknown deck previously to the tournament do well because people were able to keep it hidden under wraps. That's not a thing anymore. That just never happens now.
The only thing closest to that I've seen was the Corridor Creeper game where it was Zalae,
Chucky, Trinity series.
Chucky, yeah.
But that's
where they came out.
Yeah,
that's because it was day one of the expansion, right? They come out with it.
But that's the thing, though. That's like how it is for every tournament of like Pokemon or Magic, almost, where it's just like there's just been no like the tournaments are the only time you play the game, or the only time like information is shared publicly. So it's almost like every single time you play is like a new format, which is something that's really interesting. But yeah, I basically just had to read this dude's cards, like all of them.
That must have been awesome. This guy's like, who's this scrub? Did you beat him?
Yeah, no, that was the best part. I was like, I was reading his card and I was like, then I was like reading my card and I was like, huh.
And you're like, hey, how does this work?
I was like, so I'm going to play this. And if I'm reading this correctly, your thing dies and I win. Is this
oh my god, like, that must have been the biggest slap in the face to this guy. He's prepared for weeks, he's ready to go, and then you show up and you go like, okay, I don't know what that card does, but I win.
Well, it was more like I read the card and I was like, okay, so like this is the interaction, like how it would play out in my head, and then it's like, in order to ask a judge if like that's how it works, you have to actually do it. You can't, like, ask them rulings before you actually make the play. So
yeah, sure.
So I, like, did it, and then I was like, I think I win. And then he just scooped up his cards and walked away. It was great. Didn't even...
Oh, that's fantastic.
Didn't even shake my hand. No good games. Oh, that was the best feeling ever. And then you just, like, casually stroll by their group of friends as he complains about how he got high-rolled by a noob. Oh, man.
That's hilarious.
It's great, especially since I was out of the game for long enough that, like, only the, like, pro players really know who I am at that point. Like, the mm-hmm. the newer players, like, the new generation
like
of people.
Like, the old guard.
Yeah.
The old guard knows who you are.
Yeah.
That's gonna be pretty cool going into it, too, where it's like, imagine if, like, someone in his friend group knew who you were, and they're like, no, he's not a noob. Like, that guy is pretty friggin' solid.
Yeah, it was just funny. Like, but I feel it's the same way in Hearthstone. It's gonna be the same way in Artifact. It's like that for every card game. So, it's people who come back to the game, if they were at a certain point, they're always gonna do well. But for Artifact, I just am not at that point where I can just like I'm still learning it, just like everyone else.
The game hasn't officially come out yet, dude. I don't think that. I mean. People didn't even realize that Innervate Yeti was a good play for a long time.
That's true. I'm talking about it like it's been out forever. It's not even out yet, but I've had it for so long. Oh, boy. I'm sorry. I'm done. I'm done talking about that now.
Oh, that's cool.
That's what I did this week. Didn't die. Played in that. Now I'm focusing on Hearthstone. Been prepping for DreamHack Atlanta since Saturday. I'm feeling good.
I wanted to talk about that a little bit. Maybe we can touch it later on in the news or the meta section. But I want to talk about like designing a lineup, and maybe we don't have to go into so much detail of your lineup, but like when a meta is solved, how does that affect the tournament scene?
It depends on what the decks are. In past formats, like we had Jade Druid and Raza Priest, when like those two decks were like insane, like when they were broken. Mm-hmm. Like, it sometimes it just doesn't matter. Like, even if the meta's solved, like, even if you know that those are the best decks, like, you cannot do anything about it, right? Like, there's just no counterplay. They're just so good that you have to play them, and you know what the best decks are going to be. Like, you know that, like, you're going to play against the quote-unquote best deck lineup a lot, but there's just nothing you can do about it. In this metagame, I don't think that's the case at all. I think that there are decks that are clearly stronger than other decks, but especially in Last Hero Standing, there is counterplay, and that makes tournaments really interesting. If you look at HCT Orange County, Phenomino, he won with Token Druid, Q-Block, I think it was Deathrattle Hunter and something else, which is, like, not the common best deck lineup. Like, the best deck lineup would be, like, what I tried to play, which is, like, Odd Rogue, Deathrattle Hunter, Maligos Druid or Tog Druid, and then you could either go Even Warlock or Paladin. The fourth deck's kind of like a the fourth deck's a little bit more random. Most people, I played Odd Paladin. I think most people would say that Odd Paladin would be the fourth deck in that lineup just because of the stats it has on HS Replay and stuff, but it's not like those decks can't be hard countered, right? Especially in Last Hero Standing, where you can build a deck that's so polarized that it's specifically in your lineup to beat one matchup. Because, like, you don't have to win with the deck. Like, you just have to have it beat a specific deck so your lineup doesn't have any significant holes to get 3-0'd. So it makes the tournament format is definitely not solved by any means in this case, and it's definitely, like, knowing what the best decks are and trying to play around them, or, like, trying to use that to your advantage is definitely a thing. And there's levels to it. Like, Noblord uses this thing where it's, like, N plus 1. So, like, N would be the base.
The best decks?
That's, like, your very... That's your base, right? Plus 1 sure. is, like, what beats that. But then there's, like, okay, plus 2, what beats the best? And, like, is that so vulnerable to what's the best? And the best is so popular that, like, if you do that, you're going to lose. It's, like, there's levels to it, and it's honestly a lot of just thinking about what the spread is going to be like and whether you can take advantage of it. Like, if the best deck lineups are going to be played 50% of all lineups, like, you're 100% going to be countering it, right? Like, if that's what you expect. But that's not going to be the case, because people are going to be trying to counter it, take advantage of it. You kind of just have to look at what... Like, you either take a chance and you try to just be really good against some things because they're going to be more popular, and then be really bad against other things, or you just kind of... Like, there's risks and things you can take, but I don't know. It's Last Hero Standing. It's much more solvable than Conquest, because it's not random with your pick order except for the first thing. So it's like, Shoop, I'm just going to tell Shoop what I think the field is going to be, and he's going to put it in his little computer and do his little code thing, and he's going to tell me what the best lineup is, and then I'm going to play it. That's how...
That always works.
I mean, Shoop won DreamHack Austin last year. Jace won DreamHack Atlanta last year. He got second at DreamHack Denver. I don't know, dude. I just trust Shoop's little computer thing.
I mean, he does work for Google, so you are putting it through Google.
Exactly. I trust Google with my life, only because they probably already own it. So why not trust them? But, like, I could do that myself. I could figure out all the things on, like, a spreadsheet and go through all the matchups, which is something that I've done and do consistently do, but why bother doing it if you can just, like, have a computer do all the hard work for us?
That's true. Making shortcuts and just doing that, it's very valuable.
I mean, a lot, honestly, I'm learning this, like, somewhat recently, like, testing groups, like, Saiyan, for example, uses, there's this guy called Mega Man Music, who actually did well in the most recent one, most recent DreamHack. He's, like, a code person as well, and I learned that, like, Saiyan worked with him for a North American playoff, like, a bunch of pros, like, are working with that guy. So there's, like, people behind the scenes that I didn't really know about that are, like, doing the same thing that we do, and we're all doing the same thing, basically. We're all trying to use computers to cheat. Not, like, literally cheat, but, like, cheat in the sense
of,
it, like,
get an edge on the situation, yeah.
It's not necessarily even getting an edge, it's just saving time. Like, because we could do it by, like, doing it by hand, which is what we used to do, which is what everybody used to do. But now that there's these computer nerds, I mean, why not just let the computer do it for you, I guess?
That's actually pretty interesting. That's stuff that I'd be interested in seeing. I mean, I am one of those computer nerds, so.
I would be very surprised if at some point HS Replay does not come out with a tournament calculator to figure this stuff out. But then once that happens,
you go one level deeper.
Yes, then that starts to happen.
N+5.
Right, like, then that stuff starts to happen, where, like, if HS Replay comes out with a tournament calculator for Last Hero Standing, now all of a sudden, you know that everybody knows what the best deck is, and then that somehow changes things, but then you can change your own computer to, I don't know.
Yeah, you can go one level deeper on that. I think HS Replay does have something similar to that, but people might not be able to utilize, it's not very readily available.
They do, and I talked about that a lot in the Fury Hunter episode, where we pretty much went over how to make a lineup, and I mean, you should listen to that if you want to know how to make a tournament lineup and you're listening to this, because we went into, like, heavy detail on how to go about doing it. But it takes, it's basically you just go to HS Replay, you go to the meta, you go to the matchups, and then you kind of just pick out your lineup, like, pick your four decks, and then it shows you, like, what it's worst against, what it's best against, that kind of thing. And you can go through it with all the lineups that you're thinking about, and then figure out which lineup has the least holes in it, like, the least worst matchups that matter. And then that's pretty much what the computer's doing for us, is it's just going through all the possible math that we would just do by hand normally using HS Replay. So, yeah, I don't know why HS Replay hasn't actually made a tournament calculator yet. I feel like, low-key, Blizzard might be having them, like, not do that, because I remember there was a thing where Blizzard got mad at the arena calculators or something. Like, they did not approve of them.
The arena scorers, where it's like Overwolf does that, where they go through and they give you a score on your picks.
Yeah, but it's basically, like, playing arena for you. Like, you're not even, like, if you just pick the best card in each selection, like, the computer's drafting the best deck for you, right?
Which is sure. Like, and you, I mean, I occasionally drop in. I know Tachi, who's a fairly big arena player, and he streams on occasion. And all the big arena pros, they use that. But essentially, it goes in, and it's like the big decision. They have a bunch of. It turns into just decision points, where it's like, oh, this card is 20 points worse than this card, but I know that in certain matchups it's going to be better, so I have additional information that the system doesn't, so they pick that one. And then sometimes when it comes down to, like, two cards that are really closely matched, it's like, which card is better in my current deck?
Right.
But yeah, so it changes it away from, oh, what's the best card overall, to the data says this is the best thing, do I agree with the data or not?
Or is the data so readily available that I think that I can go N+2 and then beat the people that are trying to, like, beat the data or whatever. You get what I'm saying. So I think that HS Replay is probably actually not allowed to make a tournament calculator, because I feel like Blizzard...
I wouldn't be surprised if that's the thing.
Because I know Blizzard wasn't happy about the Overwolf thing or whatever at some point. I just remember people talking about it. But you hear HS Replay being referenced all the time on HCT broadcasts. Like, it's being promoted by Blizzard in some sense. Like, they're allowed to talk about it. And, like, they consistently do talk about it. So, on some level, I feel like they're not allowed to make a tournament calculator because I feel like they would have already done it. Like, Blizzard wants the pro players to have that knowledge of being able to make the tournament lineup by doing it by hand, whereas, like, the quote-unquote plebs don't necessarily have that knowledge, so they're going to do worse because they don't go and take the time out to do it.
But then it would turn, at some point, it would go like you said, and it would equalize at some point where it's like, all right, all the pros know to go one level higher. And then everyone else would just go through and be at level plus one.
True, but that never happens in a time frame where, like, the metagame doesn't change. Like, we will never get to that point in the span of, like, 3 or 4 months before a new set comes out.
That's true. It's definitely a slower process.
It's, like, a much slower like, the amount of people that are listening to this podcast right now that are going to know what to do if they're going into a tournament because they're going to listen to what we talked about in the Fury Hunter interview or, like, understand what I'm saying now is so little compared to the amount of people that actually play in tournaments that it's never going to get to the point where, like, this podcast is going to be listened to by everybody who plays in tournaments or everybody who plays in tournaments is going to know to do that. It's just not going to happen because Blizzard's never going to promote it. It's never going to be promoted on Reddit to the point where everybody would see it. Like, casuals just don't care about that stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, a casual tournament player, like, they're going to know about HS Replay because it's so popular, but they're not going to know about how to build the proper tournament lineup just because that information is not popular. And I don't think Blizzard wants
it to be popular. Yeah, you really have to go looking for it. Whereas, I mean, so at some level, we have evolved beyond the Magic, the Pokemon, where it's like nothing is available. But because of that, everyone's gotten to the ability where you have to focus in a little bit deeper.
We're just playing 3D chess right now, but we could be playing 4D chess once the computers take over.
I'm playing 5D underwater space chess.
Oh man, I think we just found the title of this podcast, 5D underwater space chess.
I think we got it.
Meanwhile, in actuality, we're all just playing Druid and Deathrattle on her. And
we're all playing Wild Growth on 2.
At the end of the day, we're all just playing Wild Growth on 2. I actually want to take a look at the class diversity real quick of HCT Orange County. I looked at this earlier, and the class diversity was, like, insanely skewed towards Druid, Warlock, not Paladin, surprisingly. I thought it would be more skewed towards Paladin than it actually was. But it was like almost everybody in top 8 had Druid. A lot of people in top 8 had Warlock. A lot of people in top 8 had Rogue. Like, nobody really had Priest. Or there was a couple Paladins. It was just very skewed. There was, like, almost no mages. There might have actually been no mages. There might have been one, but...
Wow.
It was just, like, so
no skewed. Murloc mage?
Not really. It was just very skewed towards, just the three decks. Just, Druid, Hunter, and Warlock. There was actually a lot of Shamans and Rogues, but, like... Okay, so there's 14 Druids, 16 Druids, 12 Hunters, 9 Warlocks, 9 Shamans, and Shudderwalk Shaman, because I think Shudderwalk Shaman's probably top 4 decks. 8 rogues, 7 paladins, 1 warrior, 1 priest, 1 mage. So it's like there's just classes that are just straight up getting dropped.
Yeah, that makes sense when there's such polarity on the ladder. I think Druid just doing really well. Everyone has to have that, and then everything else falls into place behind that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. I hope that that chart gets a little bit more diversified in the future with Rastakhan's Rumble coming up. Do you want to get into that now? We kind of talked about the tournament stuff.
Sure.
If you guys have any questions about that, like if you're going to go and play in a tournament, if you're going to play in a Challenger Cup or something once those start up again, and you're wondering, you're listening, you're like, I hear them talking about it, but I'm just really not getting it from like what I'm hearing, give the Fury Hunter episode a listen to, and not only that, just ask questions specifically, either on Discord or through email, and I can try to elaborate on it more and really get it so that you understand it. Because sometimes it's just not easy to understand the first time around.
Yeah. And it's the Hunter Fury interview was very, very good. And I definitely listened to that one more than once, actually. By accident on the second time. It was queued up in my car, but...
I need to do more of those, man. I just got so busy. I literally spent like almost 3 weeks in California, in LA, man. That's crazy. I didn't die. That's so insane to me. That's mind blowing. I'm so happy. But yeah,
it's always a good experience.
All right. You want to get into the news?
Yeah, let's hop into Rastakhan's Rumble. So we didn't mention this on the last show, but pre-purchase is available for Rastakhan's Rumble. I believe it's, what, $50 for 50 packs? And you get the new shaman hero of Rastakhan himself?
Yes, you get Rastakhan.
He's a shaman hero, right?
He's a shaman hero. It actually looks really weird to me because he doesn't look like a shaman for some reason. I don't know why I feel like that, but he just, like... I always feel weird when I'm playing against Rastakhan, because it just doesn't look shaman-y.
He has the Aztec crown, and I'm like, I don't know. I would have thought that's more of like a paladin type thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, yeah, you can get Rastakhan $50.
There's also a smaller one, but I don't know what that is.
Yeah,
you can get a card back, and then you can either get one or the other, I believe, right? It's not the double purchase like last time?
It's not? You can't get Rastakhan and the card back?
So no, you in the $50 pack, you get Rastakhan and the card back. Oh. I think.
Okay, I don't know what the smaller purchase thing is, so...
Yeah, I don't either.
That's less important news than the more important news that came out today, which was... the blog post called Rastakhan's Rumble, A New Challenger Approaches, Part 1. And in this blog post, they revealed 2 new cards. Do you want to tell us what the first one is, Danny?
Yeah, the first one is Ticket Scalper, which is a pirate, 4 mana, 5-3, overkill, draw 2 cards.
Yeah,
I want to talk with you about this because this brought up a couple questions about how overkill works with me. Because it's a 5 attack minion, right? Mm-hmm. Most things that you're going to trade into this are going to be smaller minions. So if my opponent plays an overkill minion and then I toss 3 like whelps into it, like does he draw the cards or do you have to attack into the person to get the effect to go off?
I'm pretty sure overkill is when you attack. I don't think it's just when a minion is overkilled, but I might be wrong.
I would have to look into that, because that's... I mean, I feel the value of overkill in general changes drastically when that is put into effect, because all of a sudden, right, someone plays Ticket Scalper, and then... like, normally I'd want to trade into this. If I'm playing, let's say, Odd Rogue and I have three minions on board, I'd want to trade maybe my minions in to get some board presence. But all of a sudden, if my opponent draws, like, four cards because of it, all of a sudden it changes my game plan.
Okay, it's during your turn.
It's during your turn?
And it only activates during your turn. So if you give it Wind Fury, then it would, you would draw multiple cards for each minion you kill, but it's during your turn, so if your opponent trades into it, like, three whelps, you won't draw any cards.
Okay.
So.
That's a bummer. That would have been so cool.
Yeah.
There would have been a bunch of games where people put ticket scalpers on the boards, and then you just mill them.
That'd be pretty cool. Actually, I don't know. This card's a pirate, so we know there's going to be a lot of pirate synergy in this set. They're trying to make it more of a mid-range archetype now as opposed to super aggressive, which I think is what they wanted in the first place. But
they printed patches?
But they printed patches. And that wasn't the case. This time, though, it seems like they're printing a lot more low-cost value-oriented pirates and then, like, mid-rangey pirates where the power really is. Like, there was the 2-2 that when you attack, it summons a 1-1, which is, in my opinion, more utility. And then there's cards like this, the Ticket Scalper, which are more mid-range pirates, but they're very powerful, and they have strong effects. I think this overkill effect is actually very good. I just think that this body is very weak. Like, Flanking Strike deals 3 damage, which would kill this. Most minions are going to be able to trade into this, especially on turn 4. Deadly Poison on a Odd Rogue Dagger clears this. Like, if this was a 3-5, I think this card would actually be insane. Like, very good. But the fact that it's a 5-3, it might be too fragile to actually live to get to attack. I'm not sure. We'll have to see.
So, I wonder now, just because they're printing pirates, now all of a sudden you have to look back at all of the pirates that were printed that just don't see any play. And then you're like, okay, if I'm making a pirate deck, a deck that, like, synergizes around pirates, do any of them come back? Because, I mean, I don't know what's in standard, but there's things like Phantom Freebooter, the 4-mana 3/3 that gains attack equal to your weapon, Blackwater Pirate, which are all, like, on the fringe of seeing play in a pirate deck. So I really like when they print cards and then all of a sudden it makes a previous card come back to, like, be a good card.
I mean, they do that all the time, right? Like, when odd and even decks were first the thing, when Baku and Gen first came out, everybody all of a sudden, like, all right, what's actually an odd card and what's actually an even card, and, like, what makes the cut? Same thing with Reno. Reno did that. You kind of see, like, you're forced to play suboptimal cards to fit the theme. Pirates, it's going to make us go back and look at what pirates we have as options. Elementals didn't really do that too much, but it, like, almost did.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that pirates make you go back and say, because I'd love to see something where people are playing, like, Phantom Freebooter or something. Like, cards that are typically really, really bad. And then it's like all of a sudden, okay, well, maybe I'll play it because it synergizes with my deck.
Yeah, I mean, we might see cards like Celsea Captain make a comeback. Even without patches, I'm pretty sure that if a pirate deck is ever to be a thing, all the kind of, I don't know, Magic, you kind of call them, like, lords, I guess. All the things that are anthem effects that give buffs to an archetype. I think all of those end up becoming pretty decent. I don't think pirates really have any outside of Southsea Captain right now. There's no universal pirate buff.
Yeah. There are certain ones that get bigger. Do you guys... Is that, like, Luckadoo Buccaneer guy? Mm-mm. Like, the 6-mana 5/5, if your weapon has a certain attack, gain +4/+4.
Oh, yeah. There's, like, weapon synergizing pirates, but there's no pirates that synergize with other pirates besides South Sea Captain, I think.
Yeah.
Like, there's no... Well, I mean, there's probably going to be new ones, but I don't think there's any other ones that have an effect when combined with another pirate. But I'm sure we're going to see a bunch of them with this set, especially with the cards that they're revealing. They've already revealed a couple pirates, so we're definitely going to see more revealed in the future. And I like that they're revisiting. I feel like pirates, totems, there's like a few archetypes that are just recurring and will probably be recurring forever. And then there's some that they kind of tried to start and then are abandoning. Like, obviously we're going to see Beast Forever.
Like Beast Druid.
I still think we're going to see Beast Forever. I think stuff like that's going to be a thing. But like, they tried to do like jades and tricolored cards or whatever, and like, we're probably never going to see those types of things again.
Yeah. I like when they go back in on something that was popular in the past as a wild player, because like right now Pirate Warrior is actually ticking up in the wild meta. Like, it's we put it tier one in this meta snapshot. Like, it was the last deck to get in for tier one. But it's always fun to go back to those decks and it's like, okay, so they released something that's synergizing with it. What happens now? And like, that was one of the fun things when the mechs came out, where it's like, ooh, is Mech Mage all of a sudden like a good deck now? Because I have like Galvanizer and all that other stuff.
Yeah, and then I think they also made a bunch of cards into archetypes as well. Like, they turn things into mechs, they turn Mountain Giant into an elemental. We're probably gonna see more stuff like that, like things that are what's the word, they're just like just regular minions, they're non,
and you're gonna have them retroactively go back into like a tribe.
Yeah, tribal, there we go. Like, I think we're gonna eventually see them turning more things into tribes or whatever, like things that maybe could be in a tribe. They're gonna like be in a tribe.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Yeah. So the second card that they revealed today was a warrior card, and it was called Heavy Metal. It is a 6-mana warrior spell. It says, summon a random minion with cost equal to your armor. So it's similar to Geosculptor Yip, or was it Geomaster? I think it's
Geosculptor, yeah.
Geosculptor Yip, it has that effect for 6 mana. It seems like Big Warrior is getting more consistent.
So, do you think that... I always talk about a card hitting a critical mass of a specific effect in a deck, and... I mean, I haven't played Control Warrior in Standard in a really long time, so I wouldn't know. But I mean, has Geosculptor Yip been in like Big Warrior?
Sometimes. There's usually a plethora of things that people tend to try out, but a Big Warrior actually did. I don't know if it won, but it did well in the recent Chinese tournament that happened this weekend, which was not streamed, and there's almost no information on it, and information is very hard to find, but you go to Celestial's Twitter, Celestial Sin, CelestialSinn on Twitter, and that's the owner of Celestial Sin. He got second at Worlds in the first one. He lost to Firebat, went on to fund a Hearthstone team with his money, and pretty much is the sole, like, champion of the, like, he is the tournament organizer. He's very heavily involved in the tournament scene in China, and he tweets out, like, what does well in China, and that's really the only information we actually kind of get from China at all, which is really weird to me. I don't know why. That's, like, the only way we ever hear about Chinese tournaments. I don't know why Blizzard kind of just excludes China, but
up until the world finals.
Yeah, up until the world's finals. I know they're like NetEase or whatever.
I'm still salty about the Wild Open.
Yeah, it is. Oh man, it's weird. I don't know why they don't at least give us information about the Chinese scene. But anyways, the guy did well with It was a boom. What is it? The boom ship. Maligos Big Warrior. It plays like double inner rage. So like the point is to go the boom ship, you pull out your Maligos, and then
was that running C'Thun as well? Or not C'Thun, Mech-a-Thun?
Yeah, it's the Mech-a-Thun. It's the Mech-a-Thun Maligos thing, so you like pull out your Maligos and then you have inner rages to kill off your own Mech-a-Thun and your own minions.
Yeah, and then you whirlwind, so it's whirlwind double inner rage. So that'll clear the two minions.
Correct. That actually did very well, and that plays, I guess it doesn't really play that many awkward minions, and it doesn't really, that's more of a combo deck, I guess, but like, I guess that's not really a big warrior, but
there are sometimes in the game when you hit just the amount of, like, one effect, that effect just gets better, like, yeah. I mean, initially, Quest Rogue didn't have that many bounces, and then you get Gadgets and Ferryman and all the other stuff, and it just becomes really, really good.
Yeah. If if the bounce minions weren't a thing, like if Zola wasn't printed and stuff, I don't think Quest Rogue would have ever even made a comeback without, like, Zola and Sonya.
Mm-hmm. So I think that might, this heavy metal card, in combination with Geosculptor Yip, now brings you to a thought process when building a Control Warrior deck where it's like, maybe I'll go in and play a bunch of, what's that 2-mana gain 10 armor card? Bring It On.
Bring It On.
So if you play Bring It On, and then like you have Heavy Metal, Geosculptor Yip, all of a sudden you're like summoning 10 drops
and you
out
have
of
the 6-mana recruit card.
Oh, yeah, that's big, too.
That's what I was talking about. Like, it's kind of like the same, a similar effect. You just 6-mana, get a giant minion. And the fact that Mech-a-Thun Maligos Warrior did well means that slow decks like that can actually succeed. Like, slow warrior decks might just be on the cusp of playability right now, but with this second summon a big dude effect, we might see the Big Priest kind of thing happen where Big Priest became really playable once the 6-mana card came out.
Yeah, Shadow Essence.
Shadow Essence, yeah. So we'll see.
I mean, I think that Big Priest is the definition of critical mass, where you at one point you had double revive, you had double what's the 4-mana blue card that summons one of three. You discover the card to resummon.
Eternal Servitude?
Yeah, Eternal Servitude. And then you had the Shadow Essence and Barnes.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I play against every day. So
It's so weird that until, like, I talk about cards, I realize how often I forget the names of cards. Like, I know pictures.
I remembered something that a developer said, that at certain points, people don't remember cards, they remember the art of the cards. Like, in my head, when I was thinking of Eternal Servitude, I saw the picture of Eternal Servitude, and it's like, it's like the blue-shaped thing in my mind. I'm like, oh, it's that card. And like, I can tell you what it does, I can tell you the functionality of it, but there's so many cards that I just don't know the name. Like,
oh, 100%.
There's so many cards that I don't know what the name is. Like, I bet you couldn't tell me the name of the hand buff lifesteal guy. The, what is it, the 5-mana?
I know what you're talking about. I literally know what you're talking about. It's 4-mana, I think.
Is it 4-mana? It's a 4-mana 3-3.
It's saying,
give a life.
Yeah.
See, I think that card right there is the least known card of, I don't even know what set that's from, but I think it's the least known card so far. No one I've mentioned this to before has known what the card is. I think this is like the most out there. No. This is like the Mandela effect, where did that card even exist?
Dude, I don't know the name. I know the picture, though. I literally know the picture, because I originally thought that that card did something different. I thought that it gave a minion lifesteal and +2/+2. Not that it only gave a lifesteal minion +2/+2. Because I actually thought that card was like 5 out of 5 broken when I saw it in a set review. because I just thought it did something different. Like, imagine if that card gave Life Steal and +2/+2 to a random minion.
Yeah, that would have been broken.
That would be insane. Imagine you get that on a Chain Gang. Oh, baby.
It is called Death Axe Punisher.
Yeah, how am I going to remember that? That's
right? No one remembers that.
That's just not a... That's too many words. That's... No.
Too many syllables.
Like, I don't even know what Aya... Like, Aya. Like, I don't know the rest of it. Like, I just know Aya, the Jade card.
Yeah.
That's what I call it.
Yeah, like, Rag. No one says Ragnaros, or it's just Rag.
It's not... it's Ragnaros the Fire Lord. That's a little bit more...
Yeah.
Iconic, so it's like, I know that one, but like, Aya is just like, I don't remember the other part. I don't know. It is funny, like, though.
It got really funny when Deathwing came out, and then they're like, oh, which Deathwing? Someone's like, oh yeah, I just got Deathwing. Which Deathwing?
Oh my god. If somebody says I just got, oh, I guess it could be either one, yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. You got a point. So yeah, I think that, like you said, this critical mass of similar effects on the same mana turn as well is just, like, very important for consistency, and Big Warrior might be looking good. Maybe even Warrior, who knows? We'll see.
Yep. All I do know is if I was to name my band, it would totally be Critical Mass. That's my band name.
Critical Mass. Yeah. My mom actually had a question for me before. Like, she was like, I told her that I was going to do the podcast tonight or whatever. And she was like, I have a question. What kind of donut is Danny? Because she calls
Ooh,
it.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because you're
Danny. I'm a Boston cream donut all the way.
I was like, man, that's actually a really good question. Like, you're Danny Donuts, but like, what kind of donuts are you?
My profile picture is a strawberry frosted, but I am totally a Boston cream donut at heart.
All right, thanks. I'll let her know. She'll be thrilled. But yeah, so that's kind of it for the blog post. There was something hinting towards new hero cards potentially for Priest. It, like, there's a image that says High Priest Thakal, and it shows like an image of like a priest looking lion thing. I'm not really sure what they are. They might even be legendary minions, like, because there's a bunch of them. There's like High Priestess Jet.
So I think that the artwork is somewhere out online, because I was watching Regis Kilbin. He was saying, oh, he made a bunch of custom cards. I was taking a quick peek at it, and they have the picture of the rhino here, and it's the same exact picture that he put up there. So I think the card art might have been, you know how like they do when they do spoilers, they put the thumbnail of what each card is? I think that might be out somewhere.
Well, the card, those are cards, like the bat, like that's already
No. So the cards, but the rhino picture down, like the one in the middle.
Yeah,
that's like that one hasn't been revealed.
Yeah. That's definitely gonna be a card.
Just the artwork on that card makes me think it's going to be a good card. The rhino looks super tough.
I'm more curious what these guys on the, like the, on the bottom right are. They're like, they look like they're going to be heroes, like alternate heroes.
Yeah, they definitely look like that.
Like the ones you can buy. Like, remember when they did those three alternate heroes, Illyria? I don't know why they've never done that again. They've only ever had three purchasable heroes, like from the shop that lasted forever, right? Like, you can't actually buy any other heroes besides those three.
You can buy Serenoil right now.
Well, like, that's limited time, though.
Sure.
But
I think there was Khadgar, too.
Actually, wait, let's think about it. These are all not the heroes that you can buy, like, right now. Like, these are not the classes, right? Oh, no, wait, Magni. Never mind. Magni's Warrior.
So it was Magni, it was Illyria, and it was Medivh.
Oh, wait, are Rhinos hunters? Or
Rhino, I think Rhino's Warrior.
Oh, okay, yeah, Rhino must be Warrior. Okay.
I think the Lion card that you have is, that was Paladin. So maybe High Priest is a Paladin card? This dude's a... I wouldn't be surprised if this dude right here, High Priest Thakali, or Thakai, whatever, is... I wouldn't be surprised if he's, like, the Paladin Legendary.
He might be the Paladin Legendary, or he might be an alternate, like, a three-pack alternate hero.
Oh, that's true, too.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking they were gonna do, like, what they did with Medivh and, Illyria and Magni, just add three more.
But that'd be super cool. At this point, you can have a hero that is for every single class that is not the original one. I don't think that I have a single original hero for my collection.
I don't think I have the priest one. What is the
Lunara? What was Lunara for? It was something to do with Twitch, right?
It was the first month of Twitch Prime. Like, the first time I remember, because I was at TwitchCon. It was, like, 2016 Twitch Prime. I have a code somewhere. I specifically remember somebody messaging me a code for that hero. But Twitch deleted all the messages. Like, there's no... Like, there used to be an inbox on Twitch where, like, anyone could send you a message, but they deleted it.
They deleted that box? I think you can still do that, right? I still have my Twitch inbox.
Do you?
Yeah, it's... It's that little, like, dialogue box in the bottom right of any stream. I'll show you later on.
That's a chat box.
Oh, there's a difference?
There was a difference.
Maybe I didn't know about it before.
Yeah, there was a difference. They got rid of it. There was a difference. Either way, it doesn't matter. That's what I think those things are going to be. I think they're going to be alternate heroes. They could be the legendaries. We'll find out soon enough. But that's pretty much it for the blog post. There's really not much else to talk about there. I don't know, are we done? Is there anything else to talk about for Hearthstone this week?
Not really. We can guess when the full card, like, they're slowly drip feeding this to us now, but like when the tidal waves start hitting and they start releasing things every day. Do you think that starts now? Because normally they go to a bunch of streamers, and every day you have like 5 or 6 cards. Is that starting soon?
I think that will start very soon. Yes. I think it'll probably start next week. Not like after DreamHack Atlanta. Yeah, so like next week. Today is what, Monday?
Yeah, the week of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I think that's the week that it'll start. We're just getting little drips right now, but soon we're going to get a whole flood.
Yep. As soon as they say artifacts coming out, all the cards are coming out.
Oh my gosh, no. I feel like that stream went so bad that Blizzard's like, ha ha, tournament mode.
You never know on a tournament.
You're never getting a tournament mode now, you idiots. Oh, man. Oh, God. Dude, Blizzard's just kicking back. They were, like, sitting up in their chairs for a minute, dude. They were, like, wide-eyed with anticipation of whether or not they're going to have to actually step it up. And then they saw what happened. They just kicked it back, started laughing. We're like, we're good.
In this situation, Blizzard is the one playing 5D underwater space chess.
Dude.
It's true. Oh, man.
It's true. But I think that's it for this week.
Pretty much wraps it up.
Is that it? Do you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, sure. So let's get to all of the bumper stuff. We have our Patreon. If you guys want to join our Patreon, we do a lot of cool things. If you want to get coaching sessions from any player, AKA Ray, there's a tier for that. I think it's $25, and then there's a random drawing from the rest of everyone to get a free coaching session as well, as long as you are above a specific tier. I'm not too sure on that one, but if you want to join our Patreon, you can find that at patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. A lot of cool stuff there. We are not going to be able to get to emails or iTunes reviews until JR is back. So we wish him Godspeed on his recovery.
Yeah.
From his sickness.
That was unfortunate. Last week he was AFK, and then this week he got sick. I feel like I have a curse, man. Like whenever I'm feeling good, like my mom got sick too last week/ is still sick. It's like whenever I don't get sick, it's like everybody else I know just gets hit with like the plague until I start getting sick again. And then they're
fine. Start passing it on. I'm going to start taking a lot of extra vitamin C now.
You're like, oh God, I know you.
I'm in the crosshairs. I know you, Ray. I'm next on the chopping block.
I mean, you might be. You better watch out. Better be drinking that vitamin C stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So, shout-outs, Ray. And how can people get in contact with you?
Yo, shout-outs to everyone that I'm going to hopefully see in Atlanta if you're going. Be sure to say hi to me. I know I saw a lot of podcast people last year. It was really fun. And I'm looking forward to hanging out with everybody again this year. It's going to be a good time. And you can get in contact with me on Twitter at @PG_Racy. And again, if you're going to Atlanta and you can't find me or something, just message me on Twitter. I will answer and let you know what's up. Yeah? What about you, Danny?
So this week, I'm going to give a shout-out to all the people who are tanking Ray's sickness. So shout-out to JR, shout-out to Ray's mom. And as for me, you can get in contact with me on Twitch, DannyDonuts_HS. And yeah, that's about it. So any last words before we hop off?
No, just hope to see whoever's going in Atlanta this weekend, and I hope I win. I hope that
I hope you win too.
I have the best luck. I wish none of you good luck. I want it all for myself. It's been a while since I've had a good finish, so you know, I gotta keep it to myself. I can't be giving it away like that. That's why I'm not winning anymore. I wish everybody else good luck, and then they take it.
Just hold on to a little bit for yourself. Bring your lucky rabbit leg and your four-leaf clover, and you'll be good to go. All
right. I'll do that. I should need to find a rabbit first.
Sounds good. All right. Well, thanks for joining us for episode 173 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet us at Well Met Podcast. And you can also email us. The email address is wellmet@blizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Butno for amazing intro music, and thanks for tuning in. We will see you guys next week.